At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, warmer from Evo! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Apes Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. We've got an excellent podcast for you, as we're going to be keeping the first segment relatively short. We really didn't see too many giant trends in college basketball. I could really use those Twitter/X questions from you guys, but that said, we did see quite a bit of movement in college basketball on Wednesday, so we'll be breaking that down, and we've seen a lot happening in the SEC over the last few weeks. So Blake Lovell, he does amazing work over at Southeastern 14, soon to be Southeastern 16. He's going to be joining me in segment number two. We're going to be discussing all that has happened with Arkansas, all that has happened with Kentucky, just some of his takeaways from the teams that have really attacked the transfer portal. Certainly a lot has happened with Missouri, bringing in Mark Mitchell and company. We're going to be discussing how Texas has really been looking good in the transfer portal and what sort of, shall we say, issues they're going to have in the SEC and what sort of issues they're going to pose other teams in the SEC as well. Because when you do have conference realignment, you've got these teams coming over. It's both going to be difficult on the team coming in, and it's going to be difficult for the teams that they have to face against as well. So we're going to be discussing just a little bit of everything in terms of that move. And then in the final segment, I'm going to get you guys a recap of everything that we did see in college basketball on Wednesday. And if you do have a question, comment, segment, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at GNN_D1. Keep in mind, letters CM, naming does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Like I said, please do send in those Twitter/X questions. I utilize those oftentimes for segment number one here in the offseason, as we've got right now 6+ months before the college basketball season is going to be starting up. So anything that you want to hear about, I am more than willing to give it to you there. And we're going to be starting up conference previews in probably a little bit over a month. Typically, I get these started up in late May, early June. Might need to be a little bit later this year, because as I refresh verbal commits, we are up to about 1,800 guys in the transfer portal. So there's a lot, 1,826 if you want to be exact. So we're going to be getting those started up sooner rather than later. But in the interim, just let me know what you want to hear. And you know, what you're going to be hearing next is a lot of SEC chatter, as our good friend Blake Lovell joins me on the flip side here on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Craig Peterson, now a part of the VSIN Family Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Vegas, because with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the VSiN Family Podcast, and it is always great to be joined by this man, Blake Lovell. He does such tremendous work over at South Eastern 14. Take a look at this great game of college basketball that we all know and love. No shortage of intrigue for him this offseason, as we have been seeing a lot happening out there in the SEC and his neck of the woods, Nashville, Tennessee. That team, Vanderbilt, they're going through a coaching change. Kentucky has been seeing a lot as well, and Blake has been doing a great job of being able to cover all of it over at Southeastern 14. You're able to follow him on Twitter /X at the Blake Lovell altogether. Last name is spelled L-O-V-E-L-L. And Blake, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks as always for having me on, Greg.
Always great to be able to get you on, Blake. And Blake, my goodness, it has been quite the last few weeks in college basketball out there in your neck of the woods since we last talked. Kentucky, they hire on Mark Pope, and now they are very active in the transfer portal, bringing in Amari Williams, who's going through the NBA draft process. But I always say this, when you have a guy declare where he's going to transfer to and it's in the NBA draft, most likely he's just going to be transferring and not staying in the NBA draft. But how have you just evaluated the last few weeks for Kentucky? Because I think that a lot of people were underwhelmed by the Mark Pope hire, but I think the more this goes on, the more people are warming up to it.
Yeah, I agree, Greg. I mean, it's been a wide range of emotions, I think, for Kentucky fans. It sort of started off, as like you said, very unsure, because anytime you do a coaching search, I think you're always going to focus on, you know, those names that were out there, right? And fans were talking about, do you go get a Tanny Hurley who just won back-to-back national championships? If that's where you're starting with your coaching wish list, then that's something where, okay, you've got him, you've got Scott Drew, guys like that who've won national championships, and then you go get Mark Pope, who, fair, unfair, hasn't, you know, won an NCAA tournament game yet in his career. And so you can understand why there was some initial hesitation. But since then, there's plenty of reason for optimism. Look at the staff he's built. I mean, getting Alvin Brooks from Baylor was significant. You know, gets even a Mark Fox, who has SEC head coaching experience there. Jason Hart joins as well, and I know he's bringing the guy over from BYU. So I think when you look at the way he's built the staff, and then now you start to see how they're going to go about building the roster, still a long way to go to be able to probably build the roster exactly what they need to be successful. But I think it's pretty clear at this point that Mark Pope understands the challenge. And I think we saw, you know, the reception he had in this introductory press conference and all that. I think Kentucky fans are starting to buy in, because this is a Kentucky guy. And when you see the staff he's built now, there's a lot of reason for those fans to be optimistic.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And it just felt like it was time for a change for all involved. And I do think that was all said and done. Maybe John Calipari won't be making quite as much money as he would have over at Kentucky, as he had to forego a lot of money to make this move. But I do think that at the end of the day, this could be one of those rare cases where it works out for everyone. Not sure how you've been gauging this, but with John Calipari, he's been able to bring in a few guys that he was supposed to have over at Kentucky, a few of those top 50 recruits. Big Z is coming with them as well. We shall see if anyone else is going to be going with them. And at the same time for Kentucky, it just felt like they were growing tired of John Calipari. And now just any sort of new fresh voice, I think it's going to work well for them. And it just has, in my opinion, led to a little bit of a renewed excitement for the program.
I said when, you know, these moves started happening, I said, I think ultimately this is probably a win for Arkansas and it's a win for Kentucky. I said, I just think everyone probably gets what they want out of this, kind of what every single party in this wanted to achieve. You know, like you said, Kentucky, it just got to a point where this was going to be the most stressful season of John Calipari's entire coaching career if he stayed at Kentucky, because it wouldn't have mattered what he did in the regular season. All that would have mattered is what they did next March, and it's a pretty odd place to be in going into a season like that, knowing that there's so much backlash from the fans already, so they prevent that. And then it's like, you know, from the standpoint of him, like I said, he gets out of that, sure has to give up a lot of money, but we know he's going to make plenty of money at Arkansas. And then I think for Arkansas, things have just kind of fallen apart the way they did with Eric Musselman. He goes to USC. And now they've got to find someone who they feel like can kind of keep their program headed in the right direction. I mean, outside of this one bad year this past season, you know, they've been in the NCAA tournament and had a lot of success. And I know people are going to say, well, Cal's not exactly done that. But if you give him a renewed focus, if you give him kind of a renewed sort of motivation here by going to Arkansas, he can probably get the kind of talent, given the NIL money that they're going to put out at Arkansas, I think, to put the kind of team in place to where they are going to be able to win some of those NCAA tournament games that maybe couldn't win in Kentucky. It's just going to be interesting, because I think this is kind of a setup where it feels like everybody, at least for now, is going to get, you know, a lot of good things out of this. But as always, for both Mark Pope and John Calipari, doesn't matter what kind of roster they build, doesn't matter how many games they win in the regular season to a certain extent, it's still going to come down to what they do in the NCAA tournament. And unfortunately, that's the way coaches are judged now. And I think the stakes are high for both in terms of how they accomplish that at Arkansas and Kentucky.
Yeah, I do think that this is going to be great for all involved. And it's just going to be big for the SEC moving forward, as well as Blake Lovell, who does great work over at Southeastern 14, is joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And Blake, just how have you gauged how these teams have been maneuvering in the transfer portal these first few weeks? Because obviously with Kentucky, with Arkansas, these two teams have been very active, bringing in new coaching regimes. You always have to build your way up from the ground up, just because you're going to have a lot of clearance with regards to those rosters. But how do you gauge the rest of this conference? Because I look at what Vanderbilt has done under Mike Byington. They, in my opinion, have been the most active team. And I don't know if they've got guys that necessarily fit that James Madison mold per se, because they brought in a lot of lower tempo guys, but they did bring in guys with talent. Just very curious to see how that's going to be working out. But I take a look all across the conference, and it feels like even though we've seen a few guys go into the SEC, other than Kentucky, other than Arkansas, it's been a little bit of a slow start for the conference this far.
Yeah, it's been interesting because, like you said, I mean, I think there are some teams that are definitely kind of been feeling like they're in the wait and see approach to see what happens and really just kind of seeing how the rest of these pieces sort of fall into place. I mean, Vanderbilt had to build a roster from scratch, basically, like you said. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see how they, you know, kind of fare in year one under Mark Byington there. But I think in particular, it's probably, I would say, three maybe that caught my attention the most. Of course, Alabama, you know, bringing in Houston Millett, Chris Youngblood, guys like that, Aiden Holloway, you know, goes from Auburn to Alabama. I think that's a very interesting trio that they've added, given the fact that it seems like there is certainly some momentum that they could get Mark Sears and or Grant Nelson both back. If that's the case, I mean, Alabama's looking like a preseason top five team probably next season, just given what they would have in place there. Really a huge fan of Chris Youngblood. I think he's going to do great kind of there. And like I said, I think Aiden Holloway in that system could do very well as a sophomore. And then look at Missouri, Greg. I mean, we've always talked about our guy, Dennis Gates, obviously did not have the greatest year last year, to say the very least. But you look at the guys he's brought in here, whether it's, you know, Mark Mitchell obviously kind of headlines that group, Tony Perkins, Marquise Warwick, Jacob Cruz, a very interesting, I think, player from UT Martin. You just go down the list, like, I think Missouri has built a very, very good roster, one that at least right now looks like a top 5 to 7 SEC type team to me. And I think that's exactly what they wanted to see. Remember, they have a top 5 recruiting class coming in too. I think Missouri is definitely taking a big step forward. And then Ole Miss is another one that seems like Ole Miss is a team is going to have kind of a lot of positive momentum here based on some of the guys that have already gotten in. Malik Dia, obviously someone who was at Vanderbilt, went to Belmont, had a huge stay there, and now gets to go back to the SEC. So I think he could be a huge asset for them. And obviously they picked up several other players as well. But yeah, I think that trio of Alabama, Missouri, Ole Miss has really done a lot of good things in addition to Vanderbilt, like you said. And then really it's just a matter of seeing what are we going to get from Kentucky? What are we going to get from Arkansas? And once you start to see how, you know, those kind of round out your full roster, then I think you're looking at it and saying, all right, this is where you start to see some of those SEC teams make those moves. But not to forget one, too. I mean, Auburn and Florida both had significant pickups, right? Elijah Martin going to Florida, J.P. Pegues going to Auburn. So, like, even though the numbers aren't a ton in those two places, those are still significant additions. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how the rest of the league kind of picks things up from here, though.
Yeah, it is going to be really interesting. We've seen a few moves from Auburn as well, but have been a little bit surprised by some of these teams being a little bit more muted in the transfer portal. I was alluding to it with Vanderbilt as well, because you've got a guy in Mark Byington who, at James Madison, the tempo was very, very fast. They were doing a great job generating turnovers. And I look at the guys that they brought in, and I like Devin McLaughlin. I like Tyler Nickel, but the just commonality that I'm finding is that he's bringing in a lot of guys that played at a slower tempo this year, other than Chris Bannon, who comes over from Cornell. And I'm curious how you think that this is going to look from James Madison, because I just look on paper, and it doesn't seem like a roster that will be able to play that same style like Mark Byington was able to run when he was at James Madison.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because that was obviously the big thing we talked about when he got, you know, hired there is, look, it's a guy who bases a lot of things on transition on both ends, really. And like you said, you're bringing in some guys who've not played in that kind of style consistently. And I think that's always a question. And it's wild even to think, Greg, you know this. I mean, from being in Nashville previously, it's like to think that Vanderbilt would have this many transfers into play about a basketball team in a place where it's just been so hard to get transfers into. I mean, that was the challenge coming in from Mark Byington. And, you know, I'm sure there's been a little bit of that where they maybe have not been able to just go out and handpick certain guys and maybe just kind of have to go with guys that, all right, they haven't necessarily played in this style yet, but we see the things that can kind of get them there. Once we get them acclimated to everything we want to do, we feel like they can get, you know, kind of comfortable in our system. And so that would be probably my guess based on how they're doing this here. You know, and certainly needing to try to do it with a bunch of guys who have played some minutes. And I think that helps too. You know, that was kind of always the thing is you looked at some of these Vanderbilt rosters, they had some good talent on there, but they were always kind of banking on younger guys taking a huge step without a lot of experience, even in the SEC. And so don't have a lot of those SEC to SEC transfers to Vanderbilt, but you do have guys coming in that, again, have played a lot of minutes. Obviously, got some Virginia Tech guys coming in. So I think it's going to be interesting. I don't think they're going to fix everything in year one. But like you said, I think the most intriguing storyline for them could just be how do they play next year? How closely does that resemble even what Mark Byington did his last year at James Madison? And then, you know, what are the pieces they need to put in place to maybe get there fully, even if it takes another season to do it?
Yep, no doubt about it. I do think that we've got a lot of intrigue with Vanderbilt right now and just all across the SEC. I do think that it's going to be a very fascinating conference in general because, as you know, Oklahoma and Texas, they're coming in. They have been active in the transfer portal as well. You did see Texas about 24 or so hours ago. They bring in Jordan Pope. They bring in the guys from Indiana State, Jason Kent, Julian Larry, Lon Tremont Mark. And they're one of the teams I look at here in the SEC, and I've been very impressed by what they've been doing. And how do you think that they're going to be able to acclimate year number one? Because no doubt about it, it's going to be a little bit of a changeover for them, but they're used to playing in one of the top conferences in all of college basketball in the Big 12, if not the top conference. And I do think that right away, they're going to be presenting just some challenges that I think is going to be a little bit unforeseen to other teams out there in the SEC. While at the same time, I think that these SEC teams as well are going to be throwing at Texas wrinkles that they really didn't see in the Big 12 as well. So I think that there's going to be a really a feeling out process for both sides of things.
I'm with you on Texas. Like, that's a team that, I mean, to me right now, we were having this discussion a couple of days ago. Like, they look like a top tier SEC team right away. And it's just kind of based on the roster that they seem to be building there. Obviously, getting a Tremont Mark helps, but because they've added the older guys, and Ken and Larry and those guys, I mean, you've got some older guys on that roster. And certainly got some guys coming back too. I think Texas can come in and pretty much compete right away with a lot of these sort of upper tier teams in the SEC. Not saying they're going to win it, anything like that, but I do think they've done a good job roster wise, just kind of where they're at this point. Oklahoma, I feel like still I'm in wait and see mode on exactly how they kind of finish out their roster heading into next season. Curious to see what other kind of complementary pieces they can add to the mix there. But I do think Texas, you know, when we start to compare them to the other rosters we've already talked about, as of right now, I mean, in my opinion, I think Alabama probably leads the way in terms of teams that feel like they're set up for the best success. Maybe you put Auburn right after that. But really beyond that, I mean, that's where I think you're talking about, you know, teams like Texas, and you know, what maybe an Ole Miss takes a step forward, right? Missouri, as we said, certainly feels like a team that's going to take a step forward. Florida, I don't think Florida's going anywhere. And Texas kind of being that group of teams, that's what I'm fascinated to see. I think they've got the talent to do it. Just a matter of, like you said, there's always going to be a transition, trying to add in those sort of unique wrinkles that teams don't see all the time and haven't seen before because they haven't played in this conference. And so I'm really high on Texas, though, right now, based on the roster that they built there.
Yep, I am as well. I like what they've been able to do. Oklahoma, they add Kobe Elvis, but that's pretty much the only move they've made this offseason. So do think that there's going to be a little bit of retooling for them moving forward. As joining me on the show, we do have Blake Lovell, who does great work over at Southeastern 14, joining me on Coast to Coast Hoops. And this is a little bit more of a broad question. This can be teams from the SEC. This could be teams just all across college basketball. Any one of the 362 D1 teams, just out of everything that you've seen over the last few weeks, is there a team or a few teams that you've really been impressed by their transfer portal haul? Maybe we've already hit on one of them, but are there a few teams that you take a look at what they've done right now? And obviously it's early. We're in the late April, so there's going to be a lot of moves made in the next few weeks. But has there been a team or two that you look at their haul and you just say, wow, they've done a great job to this point?
And, you know, there were a lot of people who had a lot of opinions on what job was Dusty May going to take once he got the Michigan job. How is he going to kind of get things where he needs it to be for them to be successful? But I'll be honest, like I still think kind of when you look at the way they're going to wind up rounding out this roster, they're adding a couple SEC guys. We know Trey Donaldson came in from Auburn. Sam Walters came in from Alabama. These are high potential guys, and I'm curious to see how he continues to build the roster there at Michigan. Sounds like there's some momentum for them getting someone else that Dusty May probably pretty familiar with. He's going to join that roster as well, but I don't know if that's the one, you know, you're just going to say, all right, they built the best roster, but I've been most curious just to kind of see how he does build that roster there. So that's one that certainly I think feel like has sort of caught my attention there with how they're doing it. And then I think, you know, it is kind of, Greg, even when you look around at some of these other teams, it's always just trying to figure out, okay, how are they going to kind of fit some of these pieces together when you look at different teams? I mean, USC is a great example, right? You knew that Eric Musselman was going to have to come in and basically, you know, build all this thing from scratch. And we know that Eric Musselman is kind of the transfer king and has been. Of course, he flipped Josh Cohen right away, right after he left Arkansas. But then seeing, you know, the different guys he's added since then, whether that's a Bryce Pope and guys like that. So I think that, you know, those are the most interesting ones to me, honestly, Greg, is the new coaches who are having to go to these new spots. And again, Michigan, USC, these are high profile jobs. You have a lot of pressure right away after you get the job. And I think just seeing how quickly some of these coaches are able to move and rebuild the roster, knowing that they're taking these jobs right in the heat of the transfer portal era. And it's so hard to be able to just kind of, you know, maneuver when you know that there are so many guys in motion here and there are so many conversations being had. So really, those are the ones that I focused on the most, just to see how coaches are making the most of this, you know. And I think, again, those are two good examples. Dusty May at Michigan, Eric Musselman at USC. and just seeing how new coaches really all across the board try to really navigate this just continued chaos that is the transfer portal.
Oh, it certainly is chaos, and it is a very interesting just time of year in general. But Blake, you're doing a great job of keeping up with all the chaos. You're doing a great job of just being able to log everything that we are getting here in this wild time of year. And I know you're doing amazing work over at Southeastern 14. I know that you're hinting that there's probably going to be a name change relatively soon because of the fact that we now have 16 teams, and who knows how long it's going to be 16 teams out there in the SEC. But love to get people at home, know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, always appreciate it, Greg. Like I said, you can check out all the SEC stuff on YouTube, Southeastern 14 there. And yeah, we'll be having that name change soon. And yeah, then you can follow me, everything else college basketball related, on Twitter/X at the Blake Love.
And Blake does an absolutely amazing job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. And every single time he joins the show, he lends such great insight. So big thanks to Blake for joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And coming up next, this is that time of the podcast to give you a little bit of a roundup as all the news and notes we saw in college basketball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep expert. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep expert. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more,
Right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Eats with myself, Greg Apes Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. It is always a pleasure to be able to get Blake Lovell aboard. He does absolutely amazing work over at Southeastern 14, taking a look at this tremendous game of college basketball. It, without question, has been a very rambunctious offseason out there in the SEC. He does a great job of rounding it all up. And I mean, not just the SEC, he's joined me a lot for our conference previews of like the Atlantic Sun, the SoCon, just a lot of those conferences that are mid-majors, more in the southern part of the country in general. He does a great job of being able to gauge it all. So big thanks to Blake for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a roundup of the news and notes that we saw in college basketball on Wednesday. The team that I feel like we should have touched upon a little bit more with Blake, this is on me, is Ole Miss, as they picked up Sean Badula after we got off the call. And Sean Badula, he figures to be a nice difference maker for this team. 16.5 points, 4.5 assists, only shot about 32.5% this past season from three-point range over at Virginia Tech, but if you look at what he did in his first 2 years on campus, was shooting north of 35% from three-point range between those two seasons. So do think that that's going to be going northward. And for Ole Miss, they've had one of the best recruiting hauls here in the last few weeks. They pick up Dre Davis, very solid guard from Seton Hall. They get Malik Dia, who we were talking about. He was playing at Vanderbilt to begin his career. Was a nice double-figure scorer over at Belmont at 6'9" this past season. Mikel Brown-Jones over at UNC Greensboro, just an absolute stat sheet stuffer that shot right around 50% from three. These are guys that very much fit the Chris Beard style. I think that they're really going to be able to ascend this year, so that's a very nice pickup. Mike Rhodes is going to be looking to Freddie Delaney to be able to help out the Penn State Nittany Lions. For Delaney, just was really unable to get out there on the floor in general for Tennessee. He's a former top 150 recruit that has a little bit of promise, has a little bit of upside, and that's a lot of what Mike Rhodes is able to do. He does a nice job of being able to find these guys and sort of just hit them where they aren't, for lack of a better term. For Delaney, he was a guy that only saw right around about 18 games of action. He put up 2 points per contest, but at 6'5", has some relatively active hands, was rated by ESPN as a top 100 recruit for the class of 2022. I think that he's going to be able to fit this Penn State system relatively well. Probably going to need a little bit more for this Penn State team, as he did bring over, Rhodes said, a lot of his VCU guys, which some of those guys are not out of the fold, so we shall see what happens there. But all in all, I do like this pickup, and it is very clear that Georgia is going to be looking for a little bit more of a defensive approach, and I agree with it. Justin Abson, he was tremendous out there in the Sun Belt this last season. He was playing for Appalachian State. Not a guy that's going to just transform this team on offense, but that's at 8.7 boards, nearly 3 blocks per contest. He's heading on over to Georgia, and what we've been seeing out there in the SEC is a lot of these teams in the SEC, they're looking at jump shooting. They're looking to just absolutely run it and gun it. And I like that Mike White is zagging while everyone else is zigging. And I think that it's a good approach. I really do. Because if you're Georgia, you're probably not going to outshoot a team like Alabama or anything like that. I don't think that you're going to be able to bring in those sorts of recruits. But you saw Georgia not an SEB, so sturdy on glass. This is someone with a big frame. He's got a lot of muscle. He's able to do a nice job down low. He is currently joining DeSean Montgomery, who comes in from Mount St. Mary's, which... that's a little bit more of a developmental guy. I can't say that Montgomery is going to be transforming this program or anything like that, but love this pickup of Abson. I think that that is going to be big for them moving forward. And then we saw Lynn Greer. He was very rock solid this past season over at St. Joe's. He is going to be heading on over to Temple, and Temple's been able to do a nice job in the backcourt. They picked up Jabal Mashburn Jr. He was a nice double figure scorer over at New Mexico. He was a bit inconsistent with his three-point shot this past season, but... we saw for Temple, we give our ode to Lane Kiffin, go Owls. Towards the back half of the season, things were really starting to get going for them. It was a rough go of it, but I do think that Temple has a little bit of upside. I did like the hire that they made last offseason, bringing in Adam Fisher, which was one of the main masterminds of that Penn State offense when they were really able to get things going, going to the NCAA tournament when Micah Shrewsbury was over there. But for Greer, this guy is a very complete player. He was able to, for St. Joe's last season, give you about 3.7 assists, 11 points per contest, began his career over at Dayton. Not a guy that's going to light it up from three-point range, but a guy that's competent from three-point range. So really nice for Temple to be able to up that backcourt. So I do think that that is going to be a nice upside get there. Trey Townsend, he is going to be heading on over to Arizona, it does appear. Now, I know that there was a little bit of a social media spat as to the NIL money that was given out in this and everything like that. So that makes things all the more intriguing. But for Townsend, I think that he's going to be able to fit this offense perfectly. He's a guy with nice versatility, stands right around about 6'6", 6'7". For Oakland this last year, 17 points, about 8 boards, 3 assists, shot 37.5% from 3-point range. So I do think that he comes in right away. He's going to be able to make a very nice impact for a team in Arizona that they like these guys. They're right around 6'6", 6'7", able to move the floor. Now, they are going to need to find a little bit of a replacement for Umar Ballo, but all in all, like what they're building there, that is going to be big for them moving forward. And then you've got a nice ad for Virginia Tech. I was talking about how Temple has been able to reshape their backcourt, but Heisier Miller was able to do a nice job of being the do-it-all guy out there in the backcourt last season for Temple. I don't really pin any of the struggles that Temple had on him because he had to really just do it all for them. 16 points, 3.5 boards, 4 assists, shot only about 30% from 3, but he's going to be heading on over to Virginia Tech now. For Virginia Tech, they're going to need to put some shooting around him because typically they're used to having a little bit of a better ball handler in terms of their shooting. We saw with Sean Padula this past few seasons, even with them shooting about 32.5% from 3. That was deemed as down for them, so they're going to need to add a little bit more there. But Mike Young is a man that he knows his offense. For Virginia Tech, they've been leaving quite a bit of something to be desired on defense, and Miller does leave a little bit of something to be desired on defense, so he should be able to fit the system perfectly. But with Virginia Tech, they brought in some nice guys here in the offseason. Jordan Ivey Curry, who's also entered in the NBA draft, so that means that he's just going to be returning back to school. I believe that Majail Poteet was already decided that he's going to be coming back to Virginia Tech. They bring in Roddy Brown, who is someone that was a little bit passed over at Cal. Ben Burnham is someone that's able to give you some nice versatility. So all in all, nice recruiting all thus far from Virginia Tech. That's a very good ad for them, and I think that this is a nice ad as well. Scotty Middleton, he was playing this last season over at Ohio State. He's decided that he is going to be going to Seton Hall, and as you can tell with Seton Hall, they are a bunch that absolutely love bringing in these guys that they are able to hit the glass, but they're able to provide just a little bit of versatility, and I do think that you're going to be able to get that with Scotty Middleton. With Middleton last season, just didn't necessarily see a lot of minutes in general for Ohio State. Somebody who was a pretty highly touted recruit. He was a top 75 guy, according to all the databases, about 4.5 points per contest. Shot 45.2% from 3-point range at about 6'6". Probably he's going to need to work on his strength just a little little bit, but a guy that's really able to stretch a floor. For Seattle, they were hit or miss from three-point range. He should be able to help out quite a bit with that, so I think that this is a very rock-solid ad for them. And then this is going to be interesting as well. Issa Silva, he was beginning his career over at Stanford, saw no playing time over there at Long Beach State. He averaged 2.5 points per game after being like a top 200 recruit of Stanford, and he was just in the doghouse of Dan Monson. He's now in the transfer portal, so we're going to see if anyone is going to be willing to roll the dice on him. You saw Brandon White, who was over at Texas A&M this past season. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, as Texas A&M has been making quite a few moves. They are going to be, once again, a rock-solid team on the glass. And for White, he just really couldn't crack the rotation last season. He was not able to get out there on the floor at all. 6'10", 245 guy who, he's a former like top 200, top 250 recruit. Didn't quite crack the top 100, but I have to figure that there's going to be a lot of teams in on him after he pretty much redshirted this last season. And Dan Lures actually led all of college basketball in three-point shooting a few seasons ago. He has entered in the transfer portal. Could never really ascend over at Eastern Illinois. He, this last season, was able to give the team about 7 points per contest as a 2021-22 season sophomore, I believe it was, because he started out his career at Defiance, the non-D1 level. He shot 53.2% from three and logged 8 points per contest. As regards to ever since then, shot about 37.5% from three-point range this last season, and it's very much a one-trick pony. He does nothing but shoot threes, but got a guy that once shot 52.5% from three-point range in the transfer portal, so that makes things all the more intriguing. And for Creighton, it's going to be intriguing to see if they decide, you know what, maybe we should add a little bit more depth this season, as Jemiah Neal, he's going to be heading on over to Creighton. This is an intriguing ad because Neal was very good on the defensive side of things for Arizona State, and Arizona State was honestly a good defensive team. They just couldn't put the ball in the basket to save their lives, and he's a career 27% three-point shooter, about 11 points, 5.5 rebounds per game, stands right around 6'6". I question how he's going to be able to fit in at Creighton. Creighton has been one of the best jump shooting teams in all of college basketball the last few seasons. I'm not sure where the fit is. I'm sure that Greg McDermott is going to be able to figure it out. But again, I just fear that with Creighton, they're probably going to be trying to start up the second version of Five Guys, which unfortunately is copyrighted by the restaurant, and that's where they're going to be. So that's going to be of intrigue. But they do pick up Jemiah Neal, David Skogman. He was playing this last season over at Davidson, and he's a guy from Waukesha, Wisconsin. I believe that one of his brothers actually played at Seymour High School, which was a rival high school of where I go to Hortonville High School, but that said, he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to DePaul, and for DePaul, they've had a relatively solid ad here in the offseason. They pick up CJ Gunn, who he clearly just was not panning out over at Indiana, but really none of the guards over at Indiana were able to pan out, so you get a guy in Skogman who stands right around 6'10", shot it well from three-point range this last season, was injured towards the back half of the campaign, only played in 17 games, but was able to log about 13.5 points, shot 47.1% from three. I think that there's going to be a little bit of regression there, about 5 rebounds per game, so would like to see him be a little bit more, shall we say, assertive on the glass. But that said, he adds into a haul that I already mentioned Gunn, the fact that he's going over there. Jacob Meyer, he's coming in from Coastal Carolina. NJ Benson should be able to give the team a little bit of something down low. They've added guys. Now, a lot of these guys are more mid-major guys, and even though you do get some nice ads, they still have to play in the Big East, and that is going to be rough, to say the least. I think that this team is still just going to be getting absolutely smoked out there in the Big East. But that said, I don't think that they're going to be as bad as this three-win team was from a season ago, as they literally won 0 games out there in the Big East this past season. They literally can't go further down. So that's the good news. You also have Long Beach State transfer AJ George. He has decided that he's going to be going to SMU. For SMU, they were able to get a really nice hire in the offseason, as I do feel like Andy Enfield is an upgrade to what they did have him for George. And he was solid out there with Long Beach State, 10.5 points, 4 boards, is able to shoot it at about a 34.5% clip from 3-point range. He overall for his career is about a 37.5% 3-point shooter, so he's got a little bit of versatility. Now, I wonder how many minutes he's going to be out playing the ACC, because he just does not seem like an ACC caliber guy. If this is a perhaps opportunity to take a guy, have him for like 2 to 3 years in the system, I do think that that's going to work out actually quite well for SMU. If they intend on him playing right away and being like their do-it-all sort of guard, I think that this would perhaps blow up in their face. But for SMU, they've been quite active in the transfer portal thus far. They get this relatively solid add, and on top of that, I know that they brought in Kerryo Okwendo, who is a very nice scorer over at Oregon, and you have to feel like Andy Enfield just getting started there. Meanwhile, for Boston College, they get a nice versatile piece in Deion Brown. He has decided that he is going to be heading on over to Boston College over at UMBC. This last season was a little bit of a do-it-all guy. He was able to give the team about 15 or so points per contest. Not amazing from three-point range, but certainly far from awful from three-point range. I love the way that he took that jump from year one to year two. He was an afterthought for UMBC and became a 19-point-per-game scorer that was able to shoot about 35% from three, gave the team 7.5 boards, nearly 2.5 assists per contest. It's going to be a little bit of a changing of the guard out there in Boston College with them losing old Jaden Zachary, Wacky Zachy, and I don't know if he's going to be able to be quite the distributor that Zachary was, but we saw him go from being a great three-point shooter to being a little bit of a do-it-all guy in Brown at 6'3". With the way that he's able to rebound, I do think that he's going to be a nice add. We saw Aaron Scott. He was playing this last season over at North Texas, and he has decided that he is going to be heading on over to St. John's, and St. John's has been able to do some nice damage here in the transfer portal for Scott. Do have to wonder about the uptick in terms of tempo. That is going to be hurting him a little bit, as the St. John's team, they're playing quite a bit more quickly than North Texas did this last season, but we know this about Rick Pitino. He really does a nice job of curtailing his system to what he's all got. He's not going to try to fit some square pegs in a round hole or anything like that. And for Scott, this past year, 11 points, 5.5 boards, shot about 37% from three-point range. I don't think that he's going to come in there and be like some sort of a starter for St. John's or anything like that, but can be someone that comes in off the bench, be a pretty dynamic defender for them, be able to give them a little bit of just overall shooting as well. And for St. John's, he joins Vincent Iwachuku, who entered into the program about 24 to 48 hours ago, 7'1" center. So would not be surprised if St. John's tries to slow things down a little bit more this upcoming season. We saw Roddy Anderson. He was a solid player this last season over at Boise State. He has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, was able to give the team about 2.5 assists per contest. Actually began his career at UC San Diego, so we shall see where he's going to be going, as you just have more and more guys entering into the transfer portal. It's very hard to be able to keep up with, but we are trying our best here on this podcast. And this man has decided that he is going to be going to the state with the smallest strengths of the union, Minnesota, as Brennan Rigsby. He, this last season, was playing over at Oregon and saw a few minutes towards the beginning part of the season, and he was an okay role player. He was able to give you about 6 points per contest, shot 35.5% from three-point range, and was a very highly touted junior college transfer a few seasons ago. He's going to be entering in for a Minnesota program that they're going to be losing quite a bit from a season ago. Elijah Hawkins is now in the transfer portal, and for Rigsby, he's not a guy that, in my opinion, is really capable of being some sort of a point guard, but you saw this team be very good at being able to pop it from three-point range, so I do think that that is going to be of impact for them. You saw DJ Jefferson, who just frankly was glued to the bench over at Tennessee this past season. He's going to be heading on over to the Longwood Lancers, and Longwood has been able to do a nice job in the transfer portal in recent years. For Longwood, they make the NCAA tournament this last season, and they do so with really not a lot of three-point shooting. DJ Jefferson, from everything I've seen, he's a guy that's able to put the ball in the basket from three-point range. He's a former four-star guy, so he's not a guy that necessarily has the hype and clout of some of these guys that you would typically expect from Tennessee. But that said, he's going to be joining Kyra Luch in that backcourt, who 2 seasons ago, he was a primary ball handler for St. Bonaventure, so that allowed the 6'5" Jefferson to be able to play a little bit off the ball. Kobe Garland is also coming in from Drake. He was a nice guy that was able to give you a little bit of facilitation, was able to pop it from three-point range. So I do think that the backcourt that is forming, that is going to be very impactful. You saw Noah Farrakhan. He, this last season, was over at West Virginia. Averaged 7.5 points per contest. Was a former 18-plus point per game scorer over at Eastern Michigan a few seasons ago. He is entering into the transfer portal, so we shall see what his prospects are going to be as part of that West Virginia team. That was just a little bit, shall we say, disjointed to say the least this last season, but this is actually a big impact. Northwestern State tried to be able to go the junior college route and be able to bring in a lot of good players there. Edison Patterson was a top 10 JUCO guy last season, but he got hurt, and now they've been able to pull out one of the better guys that you're finding on the market, Jarrell Connell. He was playing over at Chipola College. That's one of the best junior colleges out there in college basketball. 9 points, 6.5 rebounds per game. A little bit of a big man that should be able to make an impact out there in the Southland. So we'll see if Northwestern State is going to be able to actually execute, as they had some nice guys coming in. They pretty much all got hurt. So we shall see what is going to be happening on that front. And how about DJ Turn It Up Davis? He, this last season over at Butler, was able to shoot darn near 40% from three, was able to log about 13.5 points per contest. He has decided that he is going to be going to Washington. And for Washington, this is really the biggest ad thus far for Danny Sprinkle. The only other guy that he's brought in thus far is Mekhi Mason. Have to figure that he's working on bringing in some of those Utah State guys. Maybe he looks to one or two Montana State guys as well, though they really didn't have a lot of talent remaining from this past season. But that said, this is a guy that's going to be able to come in there, shoot it right away. Now, you're going to need that primary point guard to be able to help him out, DJ Davis, even though he's just 6'1", has never really been the guy to really dole out the mail or anything like that. That said, a guy that's really able to stroke it from three-point range, began his career over at UC Irvine as well, so he's got some familiarity with the West Coast. Supreme Cook, he's got familiarity with the transfer portal, began his career at Fairfield, and was a rock-solid rebounder this past year at Georgetown. Really the only guy that rebounded for Georgetown. 10.5 points, 8 boards. He's now in the transfer portal. I think that there should be a lot of teams that should be interested in him, and if they aren't interested in him, I'm not sure why. I knew that there would be quite a few guys that would be interested in this guy, but Deontay Smith, he has decided that he's going from Nichols, and he's going to be going to UT Arlington. UT Arlington this last season was able to do a very nice job of being able to up their overall offense. They really took a three-point approach. They did not do the world's greatest job of being able to take care of the ball, but I look at Deontay Smith, and I think that he's going to be able to help in a wide variety of areas. Began his career over at TCU, actually played at South Alabama a little bit as well, but this past year, 16 points, 6 boards, 3 assists as a 6'7 do-it-all player that shot about 39.5% from 3-point range. Turned the ball over only about 2.5 times for contest as well. That's an upgrade from what we saw from UT Arlington, but I think that he should be able to go in there right away. He should be a nice dominator out there in the WAC, and I think that this is a very nice ad for them. And I think that this is a rock-solid ad as well for Oklahoma State. I know that there's a lot of people over at Oklahoma State that were a little bit underwhelmed over the fact that they decided that they were going to go with Steve Lutz as their coach, but I say to those people, be patient, because I really like the job that Steve Lutz did at both Western Kentucky and Texas A&M Corpus Christi. And for Lutz, his teams typically are based around being able to generate turnovers. How about bringing in Artario Dean? He, this last season, was playing at Florida International. 3.4 steals per contest. I believe that that led all qualifying players in college basketball, and he was just a flat-out statue stuffer. Not a great three-point shooter, only about 30% from distance, but keep in mind, a bad shot for him was better than a good shot for so many other guys. He was able to log 13.5 points, 5 boards, 4 assists, 3.5 steals per contest. This guy was able to fill it up. Now, once again, did have 3.7 turnovers per game, but he was on a team that really provided him with nothing whatsoever. He was literally their top rebounder at 5'11", so should have a little bit more rebounding for Oklahoma State. They've got some work to do, but that's a good place to be able to start. AJ Casey, he this last season was playing over at Miami. He's decided that he's going to be going to St. Louis, a former top 100 recruit that only saw about 9.5 minutes per contest this last year, 2 points, 2 boards per contest. I know that Josh Schertz is going to have something in mind for him and for St. Louis over the last 72, 96 or so hours. This team has really been able to add a whole lot of talent as you bring in two guys from St. Louis, obviously the biggest one being Robbie Avila. Him coming over with Josh Schertz was just absolutely massive. That got the ball rolling, and then you're also able to bring back Gibson Jimerson as well, and that's under the radar because we always talk about the transfers that are coming in. Being able to retain Gibson Jimerson is big. You bring in Isaiah Swope, now you bring in AJ Casey. You're really looking at a nice team that has a whole bunch of versatility for Casey. I don't think he's going to go out there and pop a lot of threes at about 6'8", but he's able to run the floor relatively well. I think that this is going to be very nice for them. And how about this for the all-name team? Armani Mighty. I guess Armani is mightier than the sword. Instead of the pen, is mightier than the sword. He is going to be heading on over to Buffalo, a Buffalo team that was not great, to say the least. I've not seen if Anquan Bolden Jr. is entering into the transfer portal or not, but if they can retain him, I think that they're going to be able to build a little bit of something here with Mighty. Just had a tough time being able to give this team a whole lot of Mighty minutes, but saw 5.5 minutes per contest. More of a low post player at about 6'10". Buffalo was just absolutely destroyed on the glass this last season. Being able to bring in someone from Boston College that had the talent to be able to make it there and be able to help out down low, that should be impactful for them out there in the MAC, so I do like that. Inside Edition, and Jordan Pope, he has decided that he is going to be going from Oregon State, and he's going to be heading on over to Texas. Texas has been able to do a nice job in the transfer portal, though it does beg the age-old question with regards to this ad. With Jordan Pope, who was the top scorer this last season over at Oregon State, 17.5 points, 3.5 assists, shot in the mid-30s from three-point range, was it a case where he was a really good player just surrounded by a whole bunch of doo-doo, or was it a case where just someone had to get numbers for Oregon State, and he was just so happened to be the beneficiary of it? He's going in with Julian Larry, Jason Kent, those two guys from Indiana State, along with Tremont Marks. Pope, I do fear, might be lost a little bit in the shuffle, so that's something to be mindful of, but all in all, I do think that this is going to be a relatively rock-solid get for them, and this is a Texas backcourt that is looking very fearsome right now after they had to retool with losing the likes of Tyrese Hunter, Max Aspis, and company, and then we did see KJ Satterfield. He was playing over at UAB this last season. Well, he was at UAB, really didn't play a whole heck of a lot. He has decided that he is going to be going down a level. He is going to be heading out over to Hampton. This is someone that's one game of action this last year over at UAB, a little bit of a walk-on sort of guy for Hampton. They just need to be able to fill out a roster as best as humanly possible because they just have not been competitive ever since they went to the Coastal Conference. So I do think that that is going to be helping them out a little bit. And then how about Kenny White? He has been touring so many Ohio Valley schools, it's not even funny, but for Kenny White, he has decided that he is going to be heading on over from UT Martin, and he is going to be transferring on over to Morehead State, and for Kenny White, I think that this is going to be a really good get for all parties involved, as he was limited to just 7 games this last year over at UT Martin. He began his career at Tennessee Tech while he was at Tennessee Tech during the 2021-22 campaign, and some nice versatility, 10 points, 4 assists, shot nearly 40% from 3-point range as a 6'7 combo player. Emory Sadie was a part-time starter, really couldn't find a 3-point shot there, and for UT Martin, he was logging about 6.5 points per contest before going down with an injury. Now that he's heading on over to Morehead State and trying to up out that new regime, I think that his familiarity with the conference is going to be big, and I do think that all in all, he's going to be able to have some good results if he could just have a clean bill of health, because he was really robbed of what could have been a nice season for them. You've also got Peter Filipowski. He has decided that he's going to be going up a little bit of a level, and I guess he decided that he's no longer wanting to be cold, as Filipowski was playing over at Maine, and he has decided that he is going to be going to New Mexico State. For New Mexico State, it was a rough year for them last year, but keep in mind that with them, they literally had to literally clean up everything because the old scandal that happened with the hazing and everything like that, that ended their 2022-23 season prematurely. They brought in a new coach. They did not have a single point returning from a season ago, so they're looking to be all brand spanking new. But Filipowski last season was the top scorer over at Maine in all NEC selection, 14.5 points, 7.5 boards. He's a 6-7 combo player that is capable of popping threes. Didn't necessarily pop them the world's greatest, but for New Mexico State, last season they were one of the worst rebounding teams in all of college basketball. This is going to be able to upgrade them quite a bit, so I do love to see that. And we've seen a few guys decide to have some NBA declarations, as well as some guys are just entering in the transfer portal late. Lamont Butler, he has decided that he is going to be entering in the transfer portal, and it was just a little bit of a disappointing year for Butler. I thought that he was going to be able to really ascend in the San Diego State system after he hit that big shot to send them to the national title game. 9.5 points, 3 assists, shot about 30% from 3-point range this last season. You just expected a little bit more from him, so that's certainly something to be taking a look at, and I do think that whoever lands him is probably going to be able to get a relatively solid get there. And then we saw Mohamed Diarra decide that he is going to be declaring for the NBA draft. He was the top rebounder this last season over at NC State. I have not seen whether or not he is going to be retaining his eligibility. I would very much assume so, as he played one season over at NC State, and I mean, he was fine. He averaged about 6.5 points, shot about 31% from 3-point range, 7.5 boards per contest, and he did spend 2 years at the community college level. So even though he's only spent 2 years at the Division I level, he's been in college basketball for quite some time. But that said, I do think they would probably be best off returning to school, and we shall see if he is going to be maintaining that. And then we did see Trey Bonham decide that he is going to be returning to Chattanooga. This is good news for them, as for Chattanooga last season, Bonham was able to give the team 15 plus points per contest, shot over 40% from 3-point range, and we're going to be seeing more and more of this. If a guy doesn't see what he likes in the transfer portal, he's just going to decide, you know what, we're going to go back to Happy, and we're going to be returning back to where we came. And then you did see Yaquan Carlos as well. He was playing at Hofstra this last season. Very good pass first guy, 10.5 points, 6.3 assists per contest. That was a top 15 mark in all of college basketball. He's heading on over to Syracuse. And for Syracuse, they had a backcourt duel that, in my opinion, you had a lot of just overall talent there in J.J. Starlin along Judah Mintz, but it didn't feel like they really complemented one another. Having Carlos, I feel like he's just a, in general, complimentary player. He's able to shoot about 34.5% from three-point range, but unselfish passer, 6.3 assists to 2.6 turnovers per contest, is able to get a lot of guys involved, and we're trying to get you involved in being able to make some money this upcoming college basketball season. I am with you guys every single day on this podcast as we prepare for what we hope to be the most successful season in college basketball ever. And if you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Good Soups, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XTimeline at @GDN_41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. And big thanks once again to Blake Lovell of Southeastern 14 for joining me in the last segment. And I'm going to have you guys every single day on this podcast, and I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.